Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Samach. We begin on the very top of the Daf, at the second line, where we quote the Mishnah. We said, Shalach biyak pikeach, ha-pikeach chai v'chule. If a person sent the fire along with the pikeach, with an intelligent person, so then the intelligent person who he sent it with, Reuven sent along the fire with Shimon, so then Shimon is chayiv and not Reuven. We continue to learn for the safety of all the chayalim, for the success of returning the chatufim, that there should be no more kabanos, there should be hatzloch in everything that Tzahal does, and Yezus Hashem, there should be a Yeshua for Klai Yisrael. Okay, so we pick up with the Gemara, with the starting of two different girsos. Now, normally we quote those girsos. Here we didn't quote those girsos, but the Gemara just tells us, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak tells us that there were two possible lashonos that we had in the Mishnah, and that was Liba, or we could have had Niba. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us, Man de toni liba lo mishtabish, uman de toni niba lo mishtabish. The one who said that the person blew on it in the Mishnah, if a person blew on this flame, so he's the one that is going to be chayiv then, because he created this damage. But the lashon could be liba, which we had the girsa in our Mishnah, or it could be niba. And both of them, Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us, are acceptable girsos over here. Neither one is making a mistake. Why is that? Because man de toni liba, the one who has the girsa, like we have in the Mishnah, liba, he was malabon, and he blew on the flame in order to make it go. Lo mishtabish, that's not a mistake, because the pasuk tells us, tosiv bilabas eish. The whole pasuk is, v'yamalach Hashem elov bilabas eish mito chasne. This was Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the burning bush. So he sees the labas eish mitochas and the fire burning within the snare without burning up the fire. Vasne enenu ukol. Just a very interesting aside. I always love this as a Zaydi myself. So the word enenu ukol is an einikol. That's where we get the source of the word einikol. In any event, enenu ukol, einikol. So the opinion, however, of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is that the appropriate lashon of liba to blow on the fire to make it, you know, go further. So that's an appropriate lashon. But labas eish, we see liba means to blow on a flame. Uman de toni niba, and the one who had the girsa, which we didn't have in our Mishnah, but there is a girsa that we find that it says niba. In fact, Yerushalmi, it says both of the girsos. So lo mishtabish, he's also not mistaken, because we have the siv borei niv svasayim, the famous pasuk from Yeshaya, borei niv svasayim, shalom shalom larachok v'lakarov amar Hashem urifosiv. So therefore, it says there a lashon of borei niv svasayim. He created the niv svasayim, the movements of the lip, the speech of the lips, and that's a lashon also of the words coming out of your mouth, the blowing coming out of your mouth. Okay, so both of the lashonos of liba and niba are correct. Then the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, liba soharuach, but if it wasn't the person that blew the flame, it was the wind that blew the flame, so then even though other people were involved, they're not going to be chai b'dinei odom. Kulam paturim, everybody's potter in a basin. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we bring a brisa, liba v'liba soharuach. What happens if you have both? The person blew on the fire. However, there also was a wind that was blowing on the fire. So the halach is, the brisa says, im yesh b'libuyo kidei l'labosa. If the person blowing it without the wind, just his own blowing it with his own mouth, would have been able to cause the fire to go and travel and cause the damage, then he's chayiv, because he totally on his own caused the damage. But if it wasn't on his own capable of causing the damage, and he needed both his own as well as the wind in order to have the fire travel and cause the damage, so then, imlav potter. If on his own he wouldn't have caused the damage, he needed his own plus the wind, then he's potter bidei odom. He's not going to be chayev in that situation. Now, the bar says, how come? Why aren't you chayev? Am I? After all, in regards to Hilchas Shabbos, when a person does Zore, which is winnowing. So, lehevei kizore viruach mesayoso. If on Shabbos a person throws up the grain with the chaff, and he throws it up in the air, and the chaff is going to be blown by the wind, the grain is heavier and it will fall down, and he uses the wind, essentially, he takes some sort of a pitchfork, Rashi says, something, rachas, shikorin playa, which the Lazi Rashi tells us, is a kli eitz gadol ke'ein eis, Lizroatsbo, to go and winnow with it. So he takes some sort of a pitchfork and he throws it up in the air, and the heavier grain will fall to the ground and the lighter chaff will be blown by the wind. And that's called winnowing, which is a malacha on Shabbos. So in regards to Shabbos, where he's only doing part of it, he's throwing it up in the air with the pitchfork, but then the wind comes and separates it and winnows it, the ruach misayato, in that situation, yechayev on Shabbos. So how come over here, in regards to the damage, we don't say that yechayev on Shabbos? Why is there a difference between Hilchos Shabbos and our halacha here in terms of nizokin with the fire? So the Gemara is going to give us four terutzim. The first three are somewhat similar. The fourth one will be a little bit different. The first three tell us why the case of the damage is not the same as the case of the winnowing, but it's a technical difference. Whereas the fourth case will tell us that there's an intrinsic difference between the Yizokin and Hilchos Shabbos. So the first three terutzim are as follows. The first one is Omer Abaye. Abaye tells us, you know what we're dealing over here? With the wind blowing, and why the person is potter? Because hachamai askinan kegon sheliba mitzad echad belibatu a ruach mitzad echer. Because they're blowing against each other. The person is blowing from the east towards the west, and the wind is blowing from the west to the east. And the wind overpowers his blowing. His blowing, therefore, is totally ineffective. His blowing did absolutely nothing to cause the damage, and the fire caused the damage because the wind blew it. But he assisted zero in terms of the blowing because he's blowing in an opposite direction. And therefore, in this situation, he's potter. Even though he's trying to do the damage, he's blowing, so to say, on the fire, but nevertheless, it's totally overpowered by the wind coming from the other direction. And therefore, as Rashi says, Delo ahani iu, he accomplished nothing. His blowing did nothing, and that's why he's potter. But if in fact he accomplished something, like in the case of the winnowing, so then, even though he didn't do the whole thing, but he assisted, so then he would be chayav by the winnowing, and so too he'd be chayav here if he was blowing in the same direction as the wind. So even though the wind accomplished something, but since he assisted, according to this, if he assisted, he would be chayav. But Abaye says he didn't assist at all in this case, and that's why he's potter. That's teretz number one. Now, it doesn't say Omar Rava. Again, when it says Rava Omar, he's saying he doesn't disagree with Abaye. He's giving a different teretz. Lav Dafka, that he disagrees with Abaye. But he's giving us another, for example. So Rava Omar, he says, for instance, Kegon Sheliba Beruach Metsuya. Liba tu haruach beruach she'ena metsuya. He started blowing with the wind, with a normal wind. And neither of them alone or even combined would have been enough for the wind to cause the damage. As Rashi says, Kishemaskil lelabos. When he started to blow on his own, so the wind was blowing as well, but it wasn't strong enough, even combining his own blowing and the wind blowing, it wouldn't have been enough to go and cause the fire to spread and cause damage. And then suddenly Rashi says, then a hurricane comes, then suddenly a gust of wind comes, and in that situation, the unusual wind did all of the damage. The milsa de lo solik adaiti, this was something that he never even imagined would happen. And therefore, in regards to Zohar, Rashi says, Linin Shabbos, sogile beruach metsuya. A regular wind would have been enough to cause the winnowing on Shabbos, and that's why in Shabbos you chayiv, even though you only assisted. And here, you didn't assist at all, because you and the regular wind didn't accomplish anything. It was only when it was this unusual wind, and therefore, it's an unusual wind, you're potter, because you really did nothing. It was really all the unusual wind. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three, it's from Rezera. Again, Rezera Amar, he doesn't disagree with the previous Terutzim. Rezera gives us a third, for instance. Rezera Amar, for example, Kegon, the Tzamra Tzamure. What does this mean, Tzamra Tzamure? So Rashi says, this is a Lashon of Ishiso Tzimirta. This is a Lashon of, he was just blowing to warm up, let's say, his hands, or just blowing a little bit to have air come out of his mouth to breathe. So this is just chamimus. It's just a little bit of warm blowing. Chomar, shelo nofach mamish. He didn't really blow. He was just like breathing normally. Ela b'nishimo kederech ha-mechamim b'nishimasu ishadav. Like he's blowing on his hands to warm them up. The ein zeh libui klal. That doesn't count as bellows. That doesn't count as fanning the flame. And therefore, he's not chayv. He didn't really assist. He was just blowing on his hands to warm them up. That's not called fanning the flame. So all three of these terutzim explain why, in regards to the nezek, he didn't assist at all. It's not really called assisting at all, as opposed to when the winnowing, he is assisting. So therefore, we understand why there's a difference between the winnowing, that you're chayiv, and in the nizakin, you're potter. Not because there's any intrinsic difference, because the circumstance was a difference. In terms of the winnowing, you assisted. And in terms of fanning the flame, in all three of these cases, you didn't assist. Either you were blowing against the wind, so you did nothing, or you were blowing with a normal wind that wasn't enough, and only when the hurricane came was that enough, or that you were just warming up your hands, and that's not called blowing. So all three of these cases explain why you're potter by nizakin, because you didn't assist at all, as opposed to in the case of winnowing, where you just did part of it, you were assisting, you accomplished something in your chayv. The fourth teretz is a little bit different. The fourth teretz distinguishes between Hilchos Shabbos and nizakin, because by Hilchos Shabbos we have a famous idea that meleches machsheves on Shabbos, in order to be chayev on something, you have to have intention to do that. If you unintentionally do something, so then you're not chayev midorais on Shabbos. You have to have intent to do it. It's called meleches machsheves. So in the winnowing, you have intent to go and winnow. Here in the damage, even though you may have intent to do the damage, but you're only a grummer, you're only an indirect causation. So that's what Rav Ashi tells us. Again, he doesn't necessarily disagree with the other three. He's telling us the fourth teretz. Rav Ashi Omar, ki amin zore v'ruach misayato. In the case of the winnowing, the wind is assisting what you're doing, because in that situation, hani milinian Shabbos, the melechas machsheves osra Torah. You intend to do this melacha. So the fact that something is assisting you to do the melacha, bottom line is, you're doing the melacha. You intended to do the melacha, and you chayiv for winnowing, because that was your intent. But in regards to damaging, aval hocha, even though you intended to do it, you're only a groma bi'almuhu, you're only assisting over here, an indirect causation. And we have the famous rule, Grumman Nizokin is potter. In regards to indirect causation, in regards to Nizokin, you're potter b'din Yodam? No, we said you're chai b'din Shemayim. And that is consistent with our Mishnah. See, we have four terutz and why there could be a difference between winnowing, where you're going to be chayev, and in regards to Nizokin, where you're going to be potter. Okay, very nice little sugit. Now we're going to the next Mishnah. It says, Hasholeach es be'era. If a person goes and lights a fire in his own rishus, and then the fire spreads into someone else's rishus and does damage. And it goes, v'ochla eitzim, o avonim, o offer. And even it does damage to things that are normally not flammable, but it does damage to them. It goes and burns the wood, so that's easy to understand. It certainly, wood is something that normally burns, that is flammable. But even rocks, which are normally not flammable, well, they could be singed. If you're taking beautiful Jerusalem stone, you don't want it all suited and burned and not looking nice. So the fire ruins the stone, even though the stone's still intact, but it now can't be used for the decorative purposes or the beautiful building wall that you want. Or even the ground is scorched, so now the ground is not going to be as fertile maybe, it's not going to be as pleasant to have as a garden, it's not going to grow things as well. In all of these situations, whether it's something that's flammable or something that's not flammable, the person who destroyed over here with the fire is chayav, because, as Rashi points out, lichicha niro v'niskalko, you caused this ground to become somewhat scorched and singed, and therefore you ruined it, and therefore you're going to be chayev. And we have the concept of isho mishum chitzo. It's considered like your arrows over here, this fire. Okay, now we then quote the pasuk, why this is so. In this situation, chayev shenemar, and we have a major pasuk over here, which tells us, ki tzeitze eish, another pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim, a lot of Bava comments from Parshas Mishpatim, the dinim of Nizokim. So, ki tzeitze eish, you send out a fire from your area, and it goes, and it finds kotzim, which are thorns, and or it destroys and eats up a pile of grain, or standing grain. Grain, the difference, Tosis tells us at the end of the bottom, Tosis on the daf, is that godish is miyuchot shu tolush min hakarka. The very last words in the very last Tosis, the last line on this daf, tells us that a godish is a pile of grain that has already been detached from the ground. And when we have Hakoma is something that is not detached from the ground. The whole Dovar HaMechubar is called Koma. It's standing grain. In any event, when you have over here the fire going and destroying the coats and the thorns, or the godish, the pile of grain, or Hakoma, the standing grain, the field itself, Shalem Yishalem HaMavir Esabeiro. The one who lit this fire has to go and pay for the damage that he did. That's what the Mishnah tells us. And then we'll now discuss why we needed all of these terms. Just say, if a fire went to destroy, you have to pay for what you destroyed. So I'm a Rav. The Gemara starts with telling us the din of Rav. Because of Rachmana, why did the Torah have to tell us all of these things? Right? It could have just said Kitzesi Eishu Motzer Kotzim, and that's it. Shalem Yishalem Avir Sadeira. Why did it have to tell us Kotzim and Godish, the thorns and the pile of grain, the Kamba, the standing grain, and the Sada and the field itself? Why do we need all of this? The Gemara says Tzrichi. Rav tells us you need to teach each one because each one has a chiddush that the other ones don't have. Because of Rachmana Kotzim, you just taught me firewood. You just taught me the thorns. So I would have said, you know what? Havamina Kotzim who the Chayav Rachmana. Only for thorns, firewood, would you be Chayav for? For the reason that Mishum the Shriach Eish Kabai, because fire is normal with firewood, and Ushriach the Pasha, it's very easy for somebody to go and burn them. And therefore, in that situation, when it said Yechayev, Avol Godish, but a pile of grain? Whoa, you don't want that to burn. You keep far away from that. You don't put fire anywhere near that. So therefore, the lo shriach eish kabayu, you certainly don't put fire in there. It's like in a hospital, you're not allowed to light a flame because there's oxygen there. So here, you have this very precious material over here. You got a pile of very expensive wheat. So the last thing you want to do is put fire near there. The lo shriach eish kabaya. So fire is not normally over there. And the lo shriach the pasha. And since it's an expensive pile of grain, people are very careful around it and watching it. So no flame. You know, there's a big sign up there. No smoking over there. So therefore, I would have said in that situation, if somehow this pile of grain did get burned, I would say it's an onus, Rashi tells us. It must be an accident and you'd be potter. So aimalo, maybe you thought you're not chayev. Therefore, it had to tell me as well, Godish. No, so just write Godish and I'll know the thorns. I would know the kotzim. Because of Rachmana Godish, if you told me Godish, I would have said, no, only Godish you chayev. Have a mean of Godish chayev Rachmana. The Torah only required you to pay when you burn down a pile of grain. You know why? Mishum hesed rubo. That's a very expensive thing that you just destroyed. This grain, this pile of grain was $1,000 and you just burned it down. Oh, that's why you chayev. Avo kotzim, a couple of twigs, a couple of thorns, a little bit of firewood, it's worth $2. And therefore, I might have said the hesed muad, it's such a small amount. Aim alone. Maybe the Torah says in that situation, you're not chayev. So therefore, kamash vulan, it had to tell me both of them. No, then why did it have to tell me kama? Rava says, kama lomali. Why do we need the word kama? So that teaches us the famous din. Famous machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Here we give the opinion of the Chachamim. Ma kama begolui, af kama begolui. Just like the standing grain is visible, you can't hide something in the standing grain easily. So you only hide for the stuff that's visible. What is golui? So too in general, let's say you have a haystack, and there's inside the haystack you have some very precious utensils made out of wood, and they be burnt up. You only chayev for the haystack, you're not chayev for the tomun, the things that are hidden inside. So ma koma begolui, af kol begolui. That comes to teach us this din, like the opinion of the Chachamim. So where it says, okay, great, that's wonderful if you hold like the Chachamim, Ulu Rav Yehuda, but if you hold like the opinion of Rav Yehuda, the mechayev aniske tomun be'esh. We dashed this out from previously in the Masechta from Sukkim, we'll see it again later on. But Rav Yehuda says that Yechayev for Niske Tomun. If there is utensils hidden in the haystack, Rav Yehuda says Yechayev, not like the Chacham said Yepater. No, then what does he need the word Kama for? If you're going to be Chayev anyway, so then you need to tell me Kama, because it's not only Galui, it's also Tomun. So Kama Lomali, according to Rav Yehuda, why do you need the word Kama? So the Gemara says, L'rabos called Bali Koma, to teach us anything that is like standing grain, you're going to be chayev for. What is that an example of? So Rashi says, at bali chayim, if you go and burn an animal, Rahman al-Litzlan, there's an animal that gets burned. You burn somebody's sheep and you kill it, Rahman al-Litzlan. Or vilanos, Rashi says, or a tree. Teaches us not only standing grain, not only stalks of wheat that are standing and not detached, but also a tree. Now Tosos didn't apparently have this Gerson Rashi. Tosos just had the Gerson Rashi. It tells us Bali Chaim, and Tosos, in Dibra Matzko, L'Rabos Kol Bali Koma says, B'kuntras Pirish Kol Bali Chaim, apparently he didn't have in Rashi the gear, so that it also includes Ilanos, but Tosos brings the source for Rashi saying that, Abu B'Yushalmi Mashma, Demar Be Ilanos as well. So in any event, that's where we get it from, that it's a standing animal or a standing tree, and that's included according to Yehuda for Koma. No, if Rav Yehuda needs this to include Koma, so then what do the Chachamim do? How do they learn these things? Rabbanon. They needed the word koma to teach us tomun is not included. So where do they know the rabbos call bali koma minolhu? How do they know animals or trees are also included? So they tell you because it says nafkalhu may oh hakoma. We have the passage that says v'ne'achal godish oh hakoma. They learned that from the extra o. So Gemara says, no, the Rabbi Yehuda, what does he do with the extra O? Rabbi Yehuda, he says, you need the O, you need to tell me that you don't have to burn all of them. If you didn't have the word O, you would say, maybe only chayiv if you burn kotzim, a godish, a koma, and they saw them. Maybe you need to burn all four of them. Therefore, the word O is lechalik to tell us, no, even if you only burn one of them, you're going to be chayiv. No, if that's what you need the word for O for Rabbi Yehuda, then the Chachamim, they also need the O lechalik, no rabbanon. How do they know that the din is you don't have to have all four of these types of damages to be chayiv, even any one of them alone? You need the word O. Lechalik, minolhu. How did the rabbanon know that? If they need the word O to teach us over here that it's talking about bali koma, so then they don't have the word O to be lechalik. Chachamim say, no, we do. Navgalu, may O hasodet. The word O is written there twice. The nechal godish O hakoma. Oh, hasodeh. So one of them is to teach me bali koma, and one of them is to teach me lechali. No, we throw it back to Rabbi Yehuda. Why do you need it twice then? Rabbi Yehuda, why do you need the word oh twice? So Rabbi Yehuda would answer, I did the kosav rechman oh hakoma for parallelism, since it tells me oh hakoma, so then it also says kosav oh hasodeh. But it doesn't darshan anything from the second no, it's just for parallelism. Okay, so we've explained why we needed to tell them the pasuk all of these four things. Now, the last one we didn't explain yet, sada lomali. Why do we need the word sada? That's the fourth and final thing. Why do we need that? So that comes, Rava would explain, lasuye lichacha niro v'sichsacha abonav. This comes to include where the fire came And it burned, it scorched the actual field itself, Nero, which is the fallow area of the field, or the stones in the field. It made them no longer usable, let's say, as beautiful Jerusalem stone. Where it says, no, so then just write Sada. If Yechayah for Sada, for the stones and the dirt, for scorching them, so certainly Yechayah for the grain, certainly Yechayah for the trees, certainly Yechayah for the firewood. Look, I'm going to Sada, and you don't have to write anything else. Why by Hanach? So it says, no. If you just had the word Sada, you wouldn't know all the others. Tzricha, you needed all four. Because of Rahman Sada, if you only wrote Sada, you know what I would have said? Hava Mina, I would have said, Ma Shebisada Ein. I would have said only things in the field. I wouldn't have known it meant the earth itself. If you just had the word sod, I would have said it means the payros. But it doesn't mean the earth. It doesn't mean the stones. Therefore, you need sod there plus the others to teach me kamash v'lon. Each of the things that each of them taught, you need them for their own diukim that we just had. And then Sada, you needed to tell me the earth and the stones, because if you just had Sada, I would not know the earth and the stones. I would have thought it meant the other things. So therefore, you need the bottom line, all four of these things, to teach us all the different things that we just darshaned out. Now we go off into a little bit of an Agadat Gemara. Rishul ben Achmeni or Rav Yonason. Rishul ben Achmeni says the name Rav Yonason. Ein poronus ba'ali olam. The reason why the Nebuch are troubles and tribulations in the world, the reason why we have paranus, bad things happening in the world, is only because there are Rishayim in the world. If everyone was a tzaddik, everyone was a tzaddik gomer, the world would be perfect. There would be no problems in the world. There would be no reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to visit tragedy upon the world. It's only because of the Rishayim. But then he tells us a very sad and interesting thought. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does visit tragedy upon the world, the Eino Maschelas Elam Atzikim Tchila. He darshens out through this Agadah to Gemara. He darshens out when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does bring tragedy to the world, it will first be visited upon the Tzadikim and only subsequently upon the Rishayim. Very scary. Now, why is that? It certainly goes against what anybody would think. So he darshens this homiletic Gemara that we just had. Shenemar, Kitzeze Eish Umotzah Kotzim. So look at the Lashon over here. Emasa Eish Yotzah, when does Eish come out? Only when there are kotzim. The kotzim is a euphemism for the bad people. Bizman she kotzim mitsuyin law. When there are terrible people in the world, when there are bad people in the world, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings tragedy. And it tells us that it first befalls upon the good people. Beinu maschelas elam atzadikim tchila first goes upon the good people, and that's because shenemar v'ne'echal godish, the godish, which is a representation of the good people. That's expensive good grain, as opposed to the thorns. So the thorns are the bad people. The godish is the good people. So it says the fire comes out and destroys because of the bad people, but first v'ne'echal godish, but first it will go and consume the good people, the godish. The Ocha Godish Lonemar, it doesn't say it then will eat the Godish, it says it's already been eaten. Ela vin echal Godish, the Godish was attacked first. And why would this be? We'll explain in a moment. But the Gemara concludes and says, Shenechal Godish Kvar. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does bring tragedy to the world, it first attacks all the good people and only subsequently attacks the bad people. Now, this is Nagarata Gemara. Again, you can't learn anything halacha l'maisa from these types of Gemara, but you learn concepts, you learn ideas, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And maybe some of these ideas can help us understand the horrible events from October 7th. And B'ezus Hashem will see the Nechama eventually coming for all of Klal Yisrael with B'ez Mashiach Tzikenu. As an aside, I will point out that I just gave a shir after our mission trip. I was invited to give a shir at Yeshiva's Torah Shraga, a beautiful yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Many of the people from our neighborhood, their sons attend this beautiful yeshiva. So I was asked to give a shir to the student body, the Talmidim, as well as the Rabbanim there. And I gave a shir about the matzah in Eretz Yisrael right now, what we can do about it, what we should be thinking about. And I related it to the trip that we had with the Young Israel Woodbury mission. And for those that are interested in hearing what I have to say, it's about a half an hour, so a relatively short shia, but it's I think a powerful shia. They can listen to it. It's on YU Torah. Look under my name and you'll see the shia, the matzah in Eretz Yisrael, seen through the lens of the Young Israel of Woodmere mission trip. Okay, little plug for those that want to listen to that shir. It's on YU Torah. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught the following braisa. What does the pasuk mean when it tells us when on the night of Pesach, when we left Mitzrayim, we were told that nobody should leave the house. A person has to be very careful. You take the bundle of myrtle, and you go and put the dam on your doorpost and on the lintel. Basaf, the higatim elamashkov, the oshtei mezuzos, min hadam asher basaf. You go and take it from the ladle and vatem lo teitzu ish mipesach beitzu adbokim. But nobody should leave their house at the time of Chatzos. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to come and destroy all the firstborns of Mitzrayim. Stay inside your house. Vatem lo teitzu ish mipesach beitzu adbokim. So we homiletically darshan this in the following way: kivan shenitan rishus lemashchis. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu unfortunately lets this terrible tragedy come into the world when he does certain things, so unless somebody is an absolutely perfect tzaddik, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu will sometimes let this terrible tragedy occur to both tzaddikim, albeit they're not tzaddikim gemurim, but they're very, 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 very good people. Sometimes they can also be impacted by the tragedy, the destruction that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has let loose on the world, as well as the Rishoyim. So therefore, they were told, stay inside the house, because if you leave the house, then no matter how good you are, unless you're a tzaddik gomer, an absolutely tzaddik gomer, so then the tragedy could, rachmon l'tzlan, affect you. And furthermore, the Gemara says, lo'od, elo shemaslu min atzadikim t'chila, as we just pointed out, Rav Yosef dashes it from this braisa, and he says that it will also impact the tzaddikim first, even before the Rishoyim. And this is based upon the pasuk, a pasuk from Yecheskel, a famous pasuk from Yecheskel, shenemar, v'chirati mimech, Tzadik v'rosha. I will go, Rachmon Litzlan, and attack you. I will cut you off, and it will be first the tzadik. V'chrati mimech. I will cut you off first, tzadik, and only subsequently the rosha. So therefore, this can attack sometimes the tzadikim first. Now, why would that be? Why did Rav Yosef tell us this brisa? So Bachi Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef told us this brisa, he cried. And he said, Kulei hai nami la'ayin domin, are all the tzadikim, are we nothing? Are we ayin? Are we as if we were nothing? That we're first in line over here to get the punishment? That the Rishayim get punished after us? The Tzaddikim get punished first? Does that make any sense? So, Amalei Abaye tells his Rebbe Rav Yosef, it makes sense because it's actually a very, very good thing for the Tzaddikim to sometimes be punished first. They don't have to see the terrible tragedies. Tivusa hu legabayu. It's actually a good thing for them to pass away first or to be punished first. Dechsiv, as the pasuk says from Yeshaya, ki mipnei hara'ah nesaf hatzadik. Kodesh Baruch Hu does the tzadik a tova, and he takes away the tzadik before the terrible things come. I always keep on thinking, I remember Rabbeim telling me that the Chavetz Chaim passed away in the early 30s in order that he shouldn't have to see Nebuch the Shoah. He was saved from seeing the horrible things. I know how many people recently have told me at a shiva house for a person who Nebuch went through the Holocaust, and they passed away right before October 7th. And subsequently, people have said, oh, what a chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to those Shoah survivors, that they shouldn't have to hear about October 7th while they were alive, because they went through the Shoah already. They shouldn't have to think and hear that Klal Yisrael is going through another Shoah right now. Hashem Yirachem. So therefore, this idea that Kodesh Baruch Hu does a tova to the tzaddik by taking him from this world sometimes in order that he shouldn't have to experience and see the terrible rishus that is about to befall. Hashem Yirachem. We continue with Agadat Tom, review the Marav, and we turn to Samach HaMebeis. Who the Rav says, La'olam yikanes adam b'chitov, v'yeitzei b'chitov. A person should try to travel during the daytime. He should come in from the road while it's still light. Outside, kitov is a play on the words, v'yelukim is or kitov. So the or is good, daytime is good, it's safer. As we'll see, Rashi elsewhere brings down that it was dangerous to travel at night. And Rashi says, in the Gemara in Pesachim, when a person is traveling on the road, he should come in while it's still light outside, while the sun is still shining, and he should leave in the following morning. He shouldn't leave until the sun is risen, and then he could go out for us tovlo, and that'll be good for him. Sha'ar tovlo, because the daylight traveling is good for him. As the pasuk says, ba'or ki tov. What's good about it? He won't be attacked by the wilde chayes, by the wild animals, which could include nebuch, horrible people, and armed robbers, chablonim, nebuch terrorists. And Ba'erev, Rashi says elsewhere in the Gemara there, he says, Ba'erev bo'ocha chama zorachas, you should try to come in, because she'ain listim mitzuyim. The robbers, the armed robbers, are a little bit scared to be out during the daytime. They travel at night. Or alternatively, inami shelo yapil biboros, ubikoyim should be here. Likewise, you shouldn't fall into pits and holes and ditches in the city because you can't see them. And furthermore, he says, likewise, shlo yalilu alav alilos miragelata oganavata, that people shouldn't go and accuse you. What are you doing out at night? Oh, you must be a ganav, or you must be a spy. So therefore, all of these reasons that Rashi explains elsewhere from the Gemara is tell us why we should travel only during the daytime if possible, and not at night. If you have to go at night, you should also not go alone. You should go in a group. And again, today it's a little bit different the way we travel at night, but certainly when it's dangerous to travel at night, more so than the daytime, a person should always try to travel during the daytime. And this is based upon the Pasuk, Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, V'yatem lo teitzu ish mipesach peso ad boker. Again, the Pasuk that we just brought down from Yetzias Mitzrayim, the night of the Korban Pesach. Now we continue the darshim, Tana Rabbanan. We learned in another Braisa, and this is so appropriate for both the matzav that we're in right now, as well as for COVID. Dever b'ir, when there is a dever, when there's a plague in the city, so kanes raglecha, go into your house. Make sure you don't go outside amongst people where the plague will spread. Chazal knew, the Gemara in Kesubos, we had the end of Kesubos, where it talked about the different methods of spread of infection. So Chazal were very much aware of the potential to spread via airborne spread, via what we call the fecal-oral route from contaminated water, and via touching and from other forms of potential communicable diseases. So Chazal knew this, and they said, when there's a plague in the city, kanes raglecha, don't stay outside, go inside. Closet yourself away. Quarantine yourself away. Shenamar. V'atem lo teitzu ish mipesach peso ad boker. Just like it was on the night of Pesach, that there was this angelo musia, there was this destructive force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu released on Mitzrayim. So stay away from it. Stay inside. But then he gives us two additional psukim. And the Gemara will ask, why did he need to give us the two additional psukim? The Omer, and he says furthermore, he says, Apostle Mishaya, Lech Ami, he says, my people, Hashem tells Yishai to go tell the Jewish people, go into your houses, go into your chadarim, into your safe rooms, and close the door behind you, and wait till the zam has passed. As the end of the pasuk tells us, chaki kimat rega ad yavor zam, wait there until the zam is passed. Nebuch, 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 so many people went to their safe rooms, and unfortunately, they weren't as safe as we thought, because they were safe from bombs, but they weren't as safe, Nebuch, from people throwing fire inside, and from people, Rachmon Luzlan, shooting inside. Hashem Yirachem, Hashem Yinachem. And then the Gemara gives us a third pasuk. Yomer, it says, Michutz Tishako Cherev, Umeichadorim Eimor. This is a pasuk that we have towards the end of Sefer Devarim, where it says, Michutz teshakel cherev, umeicha dorim ema, and then the pasuk says, gam bachor, gam besula, yonek im ish seva. So what does this tell us over here? It says, when the Malach HaMavis has his cherev outside, Michutz teshakel cherev, so umeicha dorim ema. So the rooms will have ema in them, but not the actual cherev itself. So therefore, stay inside where there's only ema, there's only terrible fear, because if you're outside, Rachman al-Litzlan, there's definite death. Now, we had three psukim over here to tell us, stay inside. Why do we need three psukim to say stay inside as opposed to going outside? So the first pasuk was from the Korban Pesach. Oh, that's the basic pasuk. We need that one to teach us, stay inside and don't go outside. But then why do we need the second pasuk from Yeshaya and then the third pasuk from Sefer Dvarim? So the first thing we ask, why don't we need the pasuk from Yeshaya? May the Omer, why did we need the second pasuk, Lech Ami bo b'chaderecha uskar d'lasecha ba'decha. Why do we need that pasuk? Because v'chitema hanimili b'leilya. Because you might have said only from the pasuk from Mitzrayim on the night of the Korban Pesach, that was at nighttime. But if it's a daytime, then you can go outside. Avi b'mamalo, there is no problem going outside during the daytime if there's a plague going on. So toshma, that's why you need the second pasuk that says leich ami bo b'chaderecha uskar d'lasecha, even at nighttime. So that's why he teaches us this goes at nighttime as well. And maybe you'll tell me that this is only when there is no terror inside the house. Then you can stay inside. But if there's also fear inside, so then it's okay to go outside. That maybe then, when there's fear inside as well, go outside. So no, Toshma. That's why we have the third pasuk, because the cherev is outside. The real death is outside. And only Ema is inside. So yes, there was a fear, let's say, of COVID even inside. But the bottom line is, outside there was more potential risk, so therefore, even though inside there still was fear, nevertheless, the real death is outside, so therefore, go inside. That's why you need all three psukim. Now, Rava adds over here, Rava, bi'idan rischa, Rava, when there was Nebuch, a time of terrible tragedy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at the Jewish people, so what did he do? Havi sochar kave. He would close the windows. Rashi says, sosam chalonos. He would seal the room. He would make a safe room to make sure that the Nebuch toxic, noxious gases or contamination shouldn't come inside. He understood this concept that the room has to be protected and you have to go and seal it off. You have to have a safe room. Furthermore, the Gemara brings down the following b'risa. Tanu Rabbanon, Rav Ba'ir, when Nebuch, there's a famine in the city, there's no food in the city, Pazer Raglecha, go and take your feet and run away to a place where you'll find food, as we just learned in the recent week's parashas that we've been laying. Shenemar, he Rav Ba'aretz, here you have Rav Mitzrayim, Lagursham, Ki Chaved Rav Ba'aretz. So therefore, there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, so Avraham Avinu got up and went to Mitzrayim. There was a famine, so Yaakov Avinu sent the Shvatim down to Mitzrayim to go and get the food there. But then it tells us another pasuk, and again we'll have to ask why do we need all the other pasukim. The Omer, it says, "Im amarnu navo ha'ir, the ra'av ba'ir v'mas busham." And this is talking about Gehazi and his three sons after they got saras, so they had no food. So they said, "If we stay outside over here with no food, we're going to die. So let's take a chance on going into the city. Maybe they'll kill us if we go into the city, but maybe they'll give us food. Maybe they won't kill us. They'll just, you know, enslave us, but they won't kill us." So that's the famous Arba Mitzorayim, as Rashi points out, Anoshim Mitzorayim, the Arba Anoshim Mitzorayim, which was Gehazi and his three sons. So we need this pasuk as well to teach us that when there's a famine, go into another city to see if there's food over there. So why do we need the second pasuk? The first pasuk seemed to be good enough that it says that Pazer Raglecha from Avram Avinu, he Rav Ba'aretz, he had Avram Mitzrayim, Lagur Sham, Ki Chaved Rav Ba'aretz, he went to Mitzrayim because there was no food in Eretz Yisrael. Even though the others did have food, they just didn't want to stand out amongst the other people and have people be jealous of us. It's a very important idea that the others taught us that we shouldn't try to stand out. We shouldn't try to show, hey, look, we got plenty over here, even though you guys don't got, because that's one of the greatest ways to make the goyim hate us. In any event, we shouldn't be ostentatious. We shouldn't flaunt what we have in front of them. I'd be hearing from my Rebbeim, I think we said on the name of Rapam Zatzal, that he said, yes, we have to open up our windows to let the candles be seen outside. But he said, don't open up the shades all the way. They don't have to see your Svarim Shrank, they don't have to see your silver drawer, and they don't have to see the beautiful chandelier. You open it up as little as you have to be Yotzi the Mitzvah, but nothing else will. Very important idea, especially in these days of rising anti-Semitism. Hashem Yirachim. In any event, why do we need the second pasuk over here from the Arba Mitzrayim? My the Omer. So the Gemara says, "V'chi tema." If you're going to tell me, "Hani mili," that's only true. Hecho deleka sofik nefashos. When it's easy to pick up, like Avraham Avinu did from one city to go to Mitzrayim, he wasn't concerned over there about sofik nefashos pikuach nefesh. So then you should go. I will hecho deleka sofik nefashos. But when the Arba Mitzrayim said we're going to go into the city, they understood that they were taking their lives in the hand. They might be killed when they go into the city. So maybe you didn't think in that situation, lo, you don't go in. Nevertheless, Toshma, that's why it tells us the second pasuk by the Arba Mitzrayim, v'chu v'nipul el machane aram im yechayunu nichya. And no, they don't kill us, then we'll live. They maybe don't kill us, but we have to take the chance. So the second pasuk needed to teach us that even if there's a potential suffering nefashos, but right now where you are, it's vatai nefashos that will be killed. So therefore, take the chance, even if it's a suffering nefashos situation. This is a very famous Gemara that's used by many modern Gedolei medical ethics poskim from the previous generations to teach us that one is permitted to go and take an experimental therapy in order to potentially save life. Without this therapy, it's a vada, you're going to be killed. But this is an experimental therapy. Maybe the experimental therapy will kill you. So are you allowed to give up a chaye shah, which is the expected lifespan you have, let's say a few weeks, a few months, in order to take this experimental therapy, which may extend your life, but will kill you right away. So it may cause you to lose your chayei shah, but has the potential to give you a much longer lifetime. So the halacha is that you're allowed to go take such a risk if you wish to. You're not mechuyev to, but you're allowed to go take such a risk if you want to. And it's really based upon our Gemara over here, as brought down by the modern poskim. Okay, Gemara continues with a similar brisa to what we had previously. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned the following brisa. That would be here. If Nebuch, there's a plague in the city, if there's COVID in the city, don't go in the middle of the road. So the simple way to understand this is, don't go where a whole lot of other people are, because that's how this is spread. And therefore, the Malach HaMavis is standing over there in the middle of the road. Alternatively, some darshan this more on a homiletic basis. You can't follow the normal Shvil HaZov. The normal Shvil HaZov, the middle road, is not going to be good in times of dangerous stress. So, yeah, normally we go to shul. Normally you take risks. Every time you go to shul, maybe somebody has a cold, maybe somebody has the flu. No, people aren't always so careful about not coming to shul when they have a contagious illness. So in the past, we weren't so machbit. But when you're dealing over here with the pandemic, when you're dealing over here with something that is very dangerous, so then you can't take the normal middle-of-the-road path that you're taking, the kivan, the yehiva, lay, rishusa, because the Malach HaMavis has been given rishus to go and bring this anjulamusia, to bring this terrible tragedy to the world, so then, maske lehedya, you're going to be able to go and kill people right out, all in the open. So therefore, you're not going to be protected by the normal things. Let's say going to shul. Normally, you have a certain protection for going to the shul. But now, we have to close the shuls during COVID based upon this Gemara, that when there's this Anjula Musya, Bali Olam, so Dever Ba'ir, you have to go and not take the normal Shvil Hazov, the middle road. You have to go to the extremes. You have to go and be overly cautious. Again, there's the homiletic way to darshan that we just did, and then the practical way to darshan it, because there's too much risk when you're amongst other people, so stay to the side where there aren't so many people. Now, the Gemara tells us, if there's shalom b'yer, however, when there's peace in the city, there is no pandemic, so then, ayalik mitzi l'drochem, then don't go and be by yourself off on the side. That's not good. Don't be at the extremes on the right or the left, but be in the middle, the kivun, the lesley reshusa, because the malach hamavis doesn't have shlita in the middle. So, mechabe chabuye umaske. So the malach hamavis goes and hides on the side, and he goes and rachmon l'slan can have a terrible impact on the people that are the outliers, the people that are on the sides. They're not with the shvil azov. They're not going in the middle with Klai Yisrael. They're off to the side. So those people are more at risk. Furthermore, Gemara brings out another b'risa, Tanur Rabbanon, Dever Bir, when you have Nebuch, a pandemic, Aikon is Adam, Yoch, Levis HaKnesses, don't even go to the shul by yourself. It's dangerous. Shemalach HaMavis, Machkid Shom Kelev. A strange idea. Don't go to the shul alone because the Malach HaMavis keeps his clay mis over there. He keeps his scythe. You always have the image of the Malach HaMavis carrying a scythe. So the Malach HaMavis has his Kelem over there to kill people with. But this is only, don't go to the shul alone, if there aren't children learning in the shul. If the children learn in the shul, the hevel, the tinoku, shalbeis rabban, will protect you. Or if there's a minion over there, the minion will protect you. But under these circumstances, when they're pandemic, don't go to the shul alone, it's dangerous. Now, what exactly does this mean? So the Ben Yoda has two beautiful explanations over here. The first one is that the malach hamavis, at these times of the pandemic, doesn't use all of these other kelim. He's just using the pandemic over here. He's just using the COVID to kill. He doesn't need his other heart attacks. He doesn't need his car accidents. He doesn't need all the other kelim that he has to go and kill people. So in this situation, he puts all of these kelim in the shul. Why bedafk in the shul? So he explains that that's a place for safekeeping. Or normally, the people that are mashkimin and marivim to go to shul are protected. They're safe. The people that come early to shul, the people that leave late from the shul, so they have a special protection. The malach hamavis normally can't get them. But now, because this anjula musya, this terrible tragedy is let loose on the world, he has shlita over even the mashkimin and the marivim. So he knows that they're in the shul early in the morning and late at night. So that's why he keeps these kelei misa over there in order to be able to now go and rachman al-islam, be able to attack those people. Again, beautiful Ben Yoyada. He always has such beautiful things to say on all these Haggadot Gemaras as well as the Halachic Gemaras. Then the Gemara brings another Brayse, the Tana Rabbanon, Kalavim Bochim. If you hear dogs that are crying, in other words, the dogs are barking, Malach HaMavis Bolir, they can detect that the Malach HaMavis is in the city, and they have a special sixth sense, if you wish, and they know that the Malach HaMavis is around. Kalavim Mesachakim, if you hear the dogs that are very happy, so then Eliyahu Navi Bolir, then you can tell that Eliyahu Navi is there. This is only if there's no reason for them to be either barking and crying or happy. If there's a reason for them, Hani Mili, the Lesbu Nekeva. But if there's a female dog over there, so then they're in heat, and all of their actions are therefore just based upon their animal instincts, so then you can't learn anything from the dogs barking or the dogs laughingly playing or whatever it is that the Sachakim is for dogs. Okay. Mark continues and tells us in another interesting Agarata. Yosef Ravami Ravasi, these two great Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, were sitting once Kamei de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha in front of the great Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, and each of them wanted him to teach them something that they were interested in learning. Again, Rav Shefta Shlita always says a person should try to learn things that he likes learning. There's no reason to learn stuff that you really don't like learning when there are things that you do like to learn. The more that you'll learn, that's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So it's better to learn 5 hours of stuff that you like than to learn 1 hour of stuff that you don't like. Because 5 hours is better than 1 hour. In any event, Mar or Malay, either Ravami or Ravasi, we don't know which one, said to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Lema Mar Shvaisa. I want to learn halacha. Give me straightforward, straight halacha. Mar or Malay, the other one, we don't know, again, whether it was Ravami or Ravasi. So he said to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Lema Mar Agadata. No, I'd like to learn a little bit of Agadata Gemara. No. So Rav Yitzchak Nafcha started to try to appease each of them. He said, okay, I'll learn a Shvaisa. And the other one objected. Okay, I'll learn Agarata. Then the other one objected. That's what Gemara says. Possibly, maybe Agarata, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha started to learn Agarata, the Lo Shavik Mar. Whichever one wanted to learn the Shmaisa, so the Halacha said, no, don't learn Agarata. No, okay, so he started to learn the Shmaisa, he started to learn the Halacha. Possibly, maybe Shmaisa, so the Lo Shavik Mar. And the other Rav, either Ravami or Ravasi, he said, no, I'm not going to let you learn the Halacha, I want to learn Agarata. Bottom line, Rizuk Nafka couldn't learn either. So I'm he said, No, I'll give you an example of what you guys are doing, and it's analogous to the following funny scenario. A man who has two wives, one is young and one is older. He has a young wife and he has an older wife. Now, the young wife wants him to look young. The older wife wants him to look old. So Yalda, the younger wife, she goes and picks out all of his hair that's white. She pulls out from his hair all his white hairs so he'll look younger. No, the older one, she wants him to look older. She picks out all the dark hairs. Zakeno Amalaket is low shorish. She takes out all the dark hairs. No, she's pulling out all the black hairs. She's pulling out the other one, the younger one is pulling out all the white ones. The guy's left bald. So therefore, in this situation, Nimsha Kereach, Mikan Mikan, he has nothing. He's bald on both sides. He has no white hairs, no black hairs. So to over here, you're not letting me learn Shmaisa, you're not letting me learn Agadita. I'm learning nothing. So Amalhan, so Yitzchak Nafka says, no, I'll tell you a beautiful word that is both Shmaisasa and Agarata. Ihochi, Emilchu Milsa, the Shavilata Vaichu. I'll make both of you happy because I'll give you this pasuk that we've been learning till now. Kitzeitze Eishu Motsa Kotzin, the Nechal Godish, O Akama, O Asodeh. So we'll darshan this in a halachic way, and we'll darshan this in a homiletic Agarata way. The word Teitze implies Me'atzma. It goes out on its own. Now, at the end, however, it says, Shalem Yishalem, Hamavir Esabirah. At the end, it says that the one who sent the flame out shall go and pay. Now, what is it? Is it Teitzei on its own, or is it Hamavir Esabirah? Which one is it? So first he gives the Agarata. So this is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Olai L'Shalem Esabirah Shivarti, I never had to punish you. You did all sorts of sins, and that's why the fire came out by itself. However, I'm the one that ultimately sent the fire. Therefore, I'll ultimately make it up to you. No, I had to punish you, but I'll ultimately make it up to you. I had to cause the fire that caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. That I set the fire forth in Sion and it ate up the Beis Hamikdash. It destroyed the foundation of the Beis Hamikdash. Again, this was a great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, that if the Beis Hamikdash had been built, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by David HaMelech, so it never could have been destroyed. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to take it out on us. Instead, since it wasn't a permanent structure, it's taking out on the Eitz and the Avonim, and we're left behind, albeit bereft, but we're still left behind. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ani osel v'noso v'eish, I will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with fire. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says. Now, the whole Pasuk is as follows. Shenemar, V'ani e'ala ne'um Hashem. So we only quote part of the pasuk over here in the Gemara. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vani eyalah chomas eish soviv." I will go and build a wall of fire around it, and I will be in the middle of it. So this is the agada. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I gave you the fire that you never deserved, but I will eventually rebuild it with fire." So that's the agada darshening of this pasuk. The shmaisa, so the halachic darshening of the pasuk is pasuk chasu b'niz ne'mamono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts off with the Eish being his property. So the fire, that your fire causes damage, the Siyem Beniske Gufo, as if you are the actual damaging agent, even though it's your fire, to teach us this idea, Lo Melecha Isho Mishum Chitzov, that your fire is, if it's your arrows. If you shoot an arrow, so that's you. So too, if you have this fire and it goes and damages, it's no different than if it's your arrow. So he darshan this pasuk in a homiletic way, and he also darshan it in a halachic way to appease both Rav Ami and Rav Asi, each of them who wanted to learn a different aspect. Then the pasuk tells us a little bit more agadata. Now this Navi that we're going to be quoting is a Navi that we have in two places. We have it in Shmuel Beis. We also have it in Ksuvim, in Direi Yomim Aleph. So the same discussion, the same story is found in two places with one major difference. In one place, the field that they're talking about is a field that is a field full of lentils. And the other place, it's a field that is full of barley, as we'll see in the story. And this is really a combination of both of these stories in Shmuel Beis and in Divrei Yomim Aleph. So, Vayisav David Vayomer. David had this unusual desire for something. He had a taiva for something, for water. That's what the pasuk says, and water literally could be taken as water, that he wanted the water that he had in his youth. He had a tremendous craving for that, but we're going to homiletically darshan it, that Ein Mayim Ela Torah. So he needed the base, and he needed the Sanhedrin to teach him the halacha on something. He needed psak halacha, as we'll see. So David needed something. And David said, Mi Ashkeni Mayim Mibor Beis Lechem Asher Bashar. Who's going to bring me the water from the well that I'm used to drinking from in Beis Lechem? That's the bar that he was used to having when he was a young kid. He grew up in Beis Lechem. Vayivku Shloshes Giborim, and three great Giborim that are mentioned over there in both Shmuel and in Divrei HaYamim, and it says that these three people went. They went into the camp of the Plishtim, and and they took the water from this boring Beis Lechem, Asher B'Shar V'Gomer, and they brought it back to David HaMelech, and we'll see, David HaMelech didn't drink it, he did something with it, which we'll see at the end of the story. In any event, this is the Maaseh Shehoya. So the Gemara says, "My komiboyle." What exactly was David wanting this water for? So again, on a literal meaning, it means he wanted this water. But on a drasha level, it means that he had a shiloh to ask the Sanhedrin that was in this area, and the Plishtim were blocking him from asking the question. So these three great gedolim, these giborim, went and asked the question to the Sanhedrin. Now, what question did he ask? My komiboyle. What did David HaMelech need to know from the Sanhedrin? So I'm a Rav of Rav Nachman, Rav is the name of Rav Nachman, Tomun Be'esh Komaboyle. This exact halacha that we had the machlokes between the Chachamim, Rabbi Huda, was what he wanted to know, because he, in his battle against the Plishtim, needed to go and destroy the Plishtim that were hiding in various haystacks. So he wanted to know, are you going to, in this situation, be mechuyev to pay or not for Tomun, for things that are hidden inside the haystacks? So this was the question that he wanted to ask. Tomun be'esh komaboyle. He needed to know, what is the halacha? Do we pass it like the Chachamim, Iker of Yehuda, Iker Rabbanan? Do we pass it like Yehuda, or do we pass it like the Chachamim? No. So these three gibarim went to ask the Sanhedrin, upashle, my depashle. And no, and the answer to them, whatever the answer was, Mark doesn't tell us what the answer was, or we pass it like the Chachamim, I pass it like Yehuda. No, that's the question that he asked. So this is the first explanation that we have over here for what David HaMelech wanted to know from the Sanhedrin. Do you pay for Tomun in regards to Eish or not? That's question number one. Alternatively, Rav Huna Amar, question number two, Gedishim disorim the Yisrael Habu. These piles of hay, these haystacks that were made of barley, so they belong to Yidden. The Habu Mitmare Plishtimbu, and the Plishtim were hiding inside of it. And David Melech wanted to know, Vekomabayale, Mahu Lahatsu Asmo, Bimomanachavero. No, he needed to kill the enemy. But in doing so, we would have to go and destroy the Yiddisha barley haystacks. So are you allowed to save yourself at the expense of another Yid's money? Now, there are two real possibilities over here. The question is, are you mechuyev to pay back for doing so? Or are you allowed to even do it lechachila, even if you're going to pay back? So there are two ways the Mefarshim understand this. Let's learn it the nice and simple way. Of course, you're allowed to go, Kapuach Mefarshos, you're allowed to do this. The question is, now you have a hetter to do it, do you have to pay back or not? That's what he wanted to know. Ma'al ha'atzel atzmo b'momun chaveiro. So this is what the three giborim went to ask the Sanhedrin, and Shochlein, the Sanhedrin sent back to these three giborim, also ha'atzel atzmo b'momun chaveiro. No, you're not allowed to go and save yourself with your friend's money. Now, again, the simple understanding is, yes, you can save yourself, bikuach nefashos, except for the three cardinal sins. You can do anything to save yourself because of bikuach nefashos. You can go desecrate Shabbos. So certainly you can also go and desecrate the dinim of Nezek. But the question is, would you then have to pay it back? So also, the simple understanding is, unless you pay him back, you have to pay him back. While you're allowed to do this, you have to pay him back. Alternatively, there is an opinion that says, no, you're not allowed to do this. It's considered like the three cardinal sins. Abo, they also added, however, Ata Melech Ata, you have the right of eminent domain, you're the king. King can do whatever he wants. Som Tosim Melech HaMelech, and therefore, Umelech Poreitz Lasos Lo Derech. You have the right of eminent domain. So therefore, you can go and take this, even though there are alternative measures, they moch be other, and nobody can protest against you. Therefore, you would be allowed to go and burn the plishtim inside these stacks of haystacks, these piles of grain, because you're the melech. Anybody else might not be allowed to without having to pay for it, but you could do it even without having to pay for it. Or, according to the opinion that nobody else can do it, even because of the fashos, you're allowed to do it because you're the melech. That's the second teretz, what the three giborim went to ask the Sanhedrin. The third teretz, the third understanding what the question was, for Rabbanan, it was the Chachamim, or Vitema, Rabba Barmari, they said, Amru, Gedishim Disorim, the Yisrael Habu. This is talking about that there were stacks of barley, and Ugdishim the Adoshim, there were the stacks of lentil, there were the piles of the lentils that belonged to the Plishtim. And this is the question that David was asking the Sanhedrin through the three Giborim. The Chomabayalu, David wanted to ask the Sanhedrin, Ma'u Lito Gedishim Shosorim, the Yisrael, could he go and take the piles of barley that were owned by the Jews and confiscate them to go and feed his animals, and he'd eventually pay them back with the piles of lentils, amanas l'shalim, gedishim, shaladashim, the plishtim. He would conquer the plishtim, and the spoils of war, he would take their adashim, and use that to go pay back the yidden that he took their barley from. So Shochalei, they said, you're a god if you do this. However, chavo yoshiv rosh, gizel yishalim, Bottom line is, if a person is a god of and he returns what he stole, so he at least did the financial remuneration, but he's still called a god of. He still did something terrible. Even though you're paying it back, you're still a Russia, but you, the king, are different. Again, the right of eminent domain. So you are allowed to do this. So in the second and third Terutzim, there was a special dispensation for David and Melech to do what he had asked, even though a regular person would not be able to do this. Now, David, we'll see, went lifting and Meshur said in. He said, no, if a regular person can't do this, I don't want to do this as the king either. In any event, Mark continues. In the second and third Terutzim, we have now a discussion. Bishlam Lamandi Omer Eliach Lufe, according to the third Terutz that we gave, that he would go and take the piles of barley that the Jews had owned to feed his animals, and he would repay them with the piles of the Adashim that the Plishtim owned. He would take it from them as the booty of the war. So in that situation, Bishlam Lamandi Omer Eliach Lufe, according to this third opinion that said that just was switching around the barley for the lentils, Hainu Dusiv Chad Kra, Vati Shom Chalkas Asodim Leim Adashim, Uksiv Chad Kra, Vati Chalkas Asodim Leim Asorim. Oh, we understand why there's a difference in the Girsa, that in the Divrei Hayomim, it uses the Lashon of Chelkas Asodim Melei Sa'orim, and in Shmuel Beis, it uses there was Melei Adashim, because it's talking about two different sets of piles. One was from the Yidden, and one was from the Plishtim. Oh, we understand the discrepancy between Divrei Hayomim and Shmuel Beis. According to the second opinion, that he just wants to burn them down, and he would burn the barley, and he would repay them, ultimately, with lentils. So my boy Lou, Lani Trey cried. Then what do you need to tell me about the lentils? That's not the kasha over here. So I'm a loch. So Gemara says the havu nami gedishim da adoshim di Yisrael. No, that they were actually both. According to the second Teretz, there were gedishim that were adoshim that belonged to the Yidden, as well as the havu mitam rubu plishtim. They're also hiding in the plishtim, both in adoshim and in barley, and in Sa'orim. So therefore, they were both in the present. That's why it's telling us just the facts. In one place, it tells us about the barley, and in one place, it tells us about the lentils. Okay. Now, the Gemara asks on the third Teretz, Bishlam Laman Diyom Elimikle, according to the second Teretz, he just wanted to burn them down. We understand, Hainu Dersiv, Vayisyatzi Bisol Chachalka Vayatzilel. Which means that he chose not to go burn them down because he didn't want to take advantage of a heter that only a king had to do. A regular person wouldn't be allowed to do that. So we understand why it said he saved them. Eleman diyam aliyach lufe, if he's going to switch them around, he was taking the Jewish people that owned the barley, and he was going to feed it to his animals, and then he would take the booty from the plishtim, so my vayatzila, what does it mean that he saved it? He was entitled to it. So Mara says, the lo shavak bu liyach lufe. No, he didn't still want to do this, he didn't think it was right, even though he had to have to do this as a king, he didn't want to go and do this. Nudigmore says, Bishlam Mahani Tarati, the second and third Teretz, we understand. Hainu Siv, Trey Krai, we understand. Each of them is talking about a different thing. One is talking, the Pasuk in Shmuel is talking about the field of Adashim, and the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is talking about the field of Sorim. Oh, that's Teretz number two and Teretz number three. However, according to Teretz number one, and we turn to Samach Aleph and Aleph, Eleman Diomar, Tomun Be'esh Kumabailu is just teaching us the halacha of whether we pass in like Rav Yehuda that Tomun Be'esh is also going to be chayiv, or like the chacham, the tom veishin not chayiv for, my yibay lay cry. Then what is the need of these psukim over here? So Mura answers, on my law, Mura tells us, tomon, the chad mihana kum yibay lay. It was actually two questions. It was the tomon veish question, plus either the second or third question. So you can't just learn it was the first question. It was the first question, plus either question number two or question number three. Now the Gemara continues, it says, Bishlam Laman Di Omar Hani Tarti, if you're telling me that it was these two over here, so we understand, Hainu Dersiv, Velo Ava Lishto Sam. It was David, of course, that didn't want to drink it, but the word David is not in the Pasuk. Lo Ava David Lishto Sam. David himself didn't want to drink from it. In other words, he didn't take advantage of the heter that he had, the right of eminent domain for the Melech. So that's why Teretz number two and Teretz number three, we understand. Since there's something that's also involved for a regular person, so legally, even though I have the right as the king, I'm not going to take advantage of eminent domain. The question was question number one. So then, let's take a look over here. Gemara who dishalkelu. He was asking them a halachic shaila. My lo ava David lishtosam. Again, the word David's not there. My ava lishtosam. Why didn't David want to drink it? He was asking a shaila. So why didn't he want to say it? So Gemara says, "Lo aminu mishmayu." What it means is that David didn't want to drink. It means he didn't want to say over the name of these three people because they put their lives at risk for something that they didn't have the right to put their lives at risk. They went into the plishtim to go and ask the Sanhedrin. They were putting their lives at risk. And Omar, kach mikublani beis dino shel Shmuel Aramasi. I learned from Shmuel, the great Shmuel Anavi, Shmuel Aramasi, that a person is not allowed to put himself at risk for Torah. Kol amos rasu olamos halivri Torah. Ein omim dvar halacha mishmo. There are times when you're allowed to put yourself at risk. However, to learn Torah that's going to put yourself at risk. So he said, Shmuel Ramaz, he said, you're not allowed to put yourself at risk to learn Torah. Now, how exactly, Lamaisa, you go and apply this in practice, so that's already a whole big discussion amongst the poskim on the what situations are you allowed to go put yourself at risk, what situations you're not allowed to put yourself at risk. So that's far too complicated a discussion for right now. But there is this concept that for a theoretical learning of Torah, so then one might not be allowed to put himself at risk under certain situations. So therefore, these people put themselves at risk. So I'm not to say this halacha over in their name. Ein omim dvar halacha mishmo. Then finally we conclude, it says, Vayasech Osam Lashem. David took the water and he poured it out as Nesachim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this mean? So Bishlam Laman Diomar Hani Tarti, this according to question number 2 and number 3, where he decided not to take advantage of eminent domain, Mishum Da'av L'Shem Shemayim. So therefore, he was going L'Shem Shemayim, he wasn't going to take advantage of this. El Laman Diomar Tomah Be'ej, Mai Vayasech Osam Lashem. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, Diamrinu Mishmor D'Gemara. He said it over the name of the Gemara and not in their names. With this, we conclude today's shiur. It was a little bit long, but Baruch Hashem, a beautiful shiur.